things are going on in your mind. You came here with a lot of things on your mind, but don't allow the devil to rob you from the most powerful opportunity there is to come here and reflect upon what Jesus has done for us. Jesus did for you. And you know what? The thing is, he says, I lay it down all freely. So today, salvation cost you nothing in the sense that it was free, but in the other sense, it cost you everything, and it will cost you everything. Listen, following Jesus will cost you everything you have. It'll cost popularity. It'll cost you friends. It'll cost you wealth. It'll cost you the things of the world. Really, following Jesus will cost you everything. Everybody shout everything. Ooh, Jesus. Wow. Okay, turn in your Bible. And if I could, who are the guys that helped us carry this stuff in here? I need somebody to help me carry my stuff over here, okay? Come on, I know it's more journal. Don't leave me now. Okay, I need you up here on the stage, please. I need you up here on the stage. I need you up here on the stage. I need you up here on the stage. Oh, man. Put some. Oh, man. Okay, put it in there. Put it in there. Put it in there. Oh, put it in there. Oh, yeah. Yes, thank you. Yeah, you put it on both sides. Whoa. Everybody say, Pastor. Got a lot of stuff. You know, can I say something to you? I'll say it anyway. I used to go to school almost every morning with this. You think I'm kidding? You think I'm kidding? There were teachers that, you know, would look at me and so poke fun at me because of all the gear that I came with. Because I took more home and intentions of doing something with it. And I had come back the next morning with the same stuff. Same stuff. Life is made of stuff. Everybody say stuff. Stuff. Life is made of stuff. Your life is made of stuff. The world we live in and exist in is made of stuff. Stuff. Life is about stuff. Life is about stuff. You know what? God doesn't matter. Care if we have stuff. God does care if stuff has us. Okay, let me repeat that again, okay? God doesn't care for you to have stuff. He knows that we need stuff. How many knows that God knows that we need stuff? He knows that we need stuff. He knows that you need stuff. Your kids need stuff. Your family needs stuff. You need stuff. He knows that you need stuff. But he doesn't want the stuff to have you. Okay? He really doesn't want the stuff to have you. But sometimes the stuff does have us. Sometimes the stuff is everything that life is made of. Stuff is everything that life is made of. Stuff is everything that life is made of. Stuff is what we feel like we depend upon to get us through life. Stuff. But how many knows that your stuff will get in your way sometimes? You're all going to have to help me, okay? So I may do teaching, I may do preaching. But listen, I'm not going to be here long. I know you've heard me say that for many years, but I won't. I don't plan on it, okay? Okay? And I appreciate you saying that. Thank you. But this morning, God doesn't want the stuff to have us. And life is made up of all kinds of stuff. I remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33. And then we'll get to our text. Becky, I sent you Oh man, a lot of images. I don't know if you have those. I see your head shaking. Yes, so you do. Thank you so much. Matthew 6:33. Does anybody remember what that scripture says? Matthew 6:33. Remember what Jesus said? Seek you first. Everybody say first. The kingdom of God. And Joe, there was another one of my boxes out there. Oh, Reggie. You have it, Reggie? All right, I got it. You see, Pastor Arnold's one of my stuff is missing, okay? I'm OC. I do. Most people here are not going to admit that they're OC, but they are. If I lose stuff, listen, I make it a mission to go find it, and I won't quit until I find my stuff. It messes with me. Matthew 6:33. What does that say? Would somebody like to read that? Come on, we don't have all day, remember?
So seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and I will make you what he has to do.
You don't have to read this. Matthew 6:33. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, other things, will be added unto. The problem is, and where we have a problem is when we seek the world, the kingdom of the world first, and all those things first, and then we miss out on the greater things that God said we would need in life. First of all, God knows that we need Him more than anything else in this world. You may not know that yet, but you need God, friend. I promise you this, there's a day coming when you know that God's the only one that's going to be with you. Amen. Do you believe that? I know that. Seek first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto us. In other words, Jesus said, seek my kingdom first, and all this other stuff, I'll give you. I heard Paul writing his in Philippians. He said, this one thing I do. Everybody shout, one thing.
One thing.
This one thing I do, forgetting those things. Everybody shout, things.
Thanks.
Here we are, stuff again. Forgetting those things which are behind me, I press on toward the mark, or the goal, the calling of Christ Jesus. I press on toward the goal, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things which are behind us. Our life is made up of a series of a lot of stuff. Our life can be so about stuff that we miss the main thing. And can I say to you, our objective as a person, as a human on this earth, and especially as a believer, is to keep the main thing. Amen? Keep the main thing. God doesn't care if you have things. He just doesn't want things to have you. Because when things have you, they control you. They manipulate you. It doesn't always have to be stuff. That God doesn't, He knows that we, and He doesn't try to abstract it from our life or extract it from our life. God doesn't care that we have those things. It's a part of the world that we live in. But He doesn't want the world or the system of the world or the things of the world to control you or have you. He wants to be the main thing in your life. Can I say this? God will not play second fiddle to your stuff, okay? I listen all the time. The reason why I feel like God has really spoken this to my life is because of so many times and so many situations I talk to people all the time, and I challenge them to be greater committed and their following of Jesus. And a lot of answers, if I got a nickel for every time I heard this, I'd be pretty well off. But they say, this is what people say, Pastor, I got a lot of stuff going on. How many of we all got stuff going on? Amen. Stuff can drive you. Stuff can push you. Stuff can pull you. And the thing is, we can't be tied to our stuff. When it all comes down to it, all you have is Jesus. Do you understand that? Do you understand this? You can't take your stuff with you. I promise you. You know, the Pharaohs, the ancient Egyptians thought that Pharaohs, or the rulers of that time, could take their stuff with them. So they fill a tomb with chariots. You're going to need the chariot in the afterlife. Their gold, their weapons of war. They even put food in there. They put all these things inside that chamber of that pyramid because they thought the Pharaoh would need all that stuff. Guess what? He's not going to need it. He's not going to need it. Job says, I brought nothing into this world, and when I leave this world, it's assured I will take nothing with me. Amen. Can I remind you something? All your stuff belongs to God anyway. If you don't believe that, let's not go there, okay? But I would say this, God can make a believer out of you. Amen. In a negative way. And listen, the purpose of this word is not to make you feel condemned or make you feel bad because you got stuff or make you feel bad because you enjoy stuff. In fact, it's a part of the earth that we live in. God just doesn't want the stuff to control you or have your life. Can you put one of those first images up there, Becky? I think you'll know which one it is. So what stuff has a tendency to do is to hide us or distract us from the greater purpose in our life. Yes. And I want to go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 10. And if you have your Bible at the old church, I ministered in different places in the country, you know, different places. But the Lord has laid this on my heart because sometimes we have a tendency. We have a tendency to be there. So if you have your Bible, and I hope you have your Bible, or you'll get next to somebody who does have a Bible. 1 Samuel, chapter 10. When you're there, say amen. Amen. All right, if you're not there, say, I need a minute. Okay, thank you. And if you want to stand for the reading of God's Word, that's fine. If you don't want to, we're not going to be religious about it. Wow. Lord Jesus, just help us. There's so much stuff going on in my mind right now. So many things goes in our mind every day. Stuff becomes a distraction. Everybody say distraction.
Distraction.
You know, there's a lot of things been written today about distraction. There's a lot of specials on TV programming, YouTube, about distractions. And driving, one of the big issues today, and they've made laws to try to amend this, is our distraction with devices, communication devices, which is like what? Cell phones, okay? Have you ever, Mrs. R gets on me, she tries to keep me in line with this thing right here. I believe I'm a little bit better than what I used to be, but you know, sometimes a thing that is meant for good can be something that is not good. How many understands that? It can be something not good when it gets in our way, when it distracts us or hides us from the greater intention. I believe this can be one of the greatest tools that God could give modern man today, and his communication to be able to reach the lost. But it really becomes a distraction in a lot of ways. You know, even when we're talking to each other. You know, I've noticed sometimes, and I've noticed this, and sort of grin down the corner of my mouth, sometimes when people all hang out together. You know, when I was a kid, can I say this? Oh, Lord Jesus. All right, let's read the scripture, okay? All right, Lord Jesus. There's so much going on in my mind right now. Everybody shout, stuff! There's stuff going on right now, amen? There's stuff going on here. Read, there's good stuff, and then there's stuff that maybe is not so good. But 1 Samuel chapter 10. And then I'll give you a backstory of this. And the prophet Samuel, which was the one sent to anoint a king over Israel. And this is 1 Samuel chapter 10. And when he had come to that place, he had already anointed Saul as king. But it was time for Saul to be coronated, to be publicly brought before his subjects and saying, "This is your king." So in verse 21, when he had caused the tribe of Benjamin, which was Saul's tribe, to come near by their families, the family of Machri was taken, and Saul the son of Kish was taken. But when they looked for him, they couldn't find him. Can I ask you something this morning? When God looks for you and needs you, can he find you? Hello? I said, can he find you? Let me tell you, if it's hard for Pastor R to find you, I'd say it would be pretty hard. No, it wouldn't be hard for God to find you because he knows where you are. Amen? I may not know where you are, but God knows where you are. How many knows where you? He knows where you are. Okay? Quit fooling yourself and fooling God. You can't. He knows where you are. But he couldn't be found. Verse 22. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further if the man would yet come back. And the Lord answered, "Behold, he has hidden himself among the baggage." Now, this is in the Amplified. I like the King James Version there. He said, "He has hidden himself among the stuff." Everybody shout, "Stuff." And you may be seated just for a few minutes of time. He's hidden behind the stuff. When the Lord needed him, look here. When the Lord needed him. I know you need me, Lord, but I know you need me, Lord, but I'm just sort of busy right now. I've got a lot of stuff going on, and I know there's a calling on my life. I know there's a purpose for my life. I know you have a plan for my life. I know the thoughts you have for me, Jeremiah says, to give me a future and a hope, not to give me something bad, but to give me a future and a hope. I know you have destiny for me. You see, destiny is your outcome. Purpose is your intent. It's God's intent for your life. And it's the intent of God to get you to destiny, to get you to your outcome. How many knows that you are destined for great things? I'm going to mess with you. I'm going to mess with you. And I'm going to need you in a minute, Sal. Thank you, brother, for wearing that. You knew. The Lord knew I was going to need you in a minute for that. Let me tell you something. You are destined for great things. You are destined to do great things. You are just destined to be a football hero from J.I. Burton and to play with the University of West Virginia. That's great. That's cool. That's good. But you know what? God had a greater purpose for you than to play with West Virginia. God has a purpose for you. He has a destiny for your life. And God is challenging us. So this morning, the purpose of this is not to make you feel condemned or make you feel bad. The purpose of the word this morning is to challenge us and to bring an awareness, a consciousness that God has a calling, a destiny for you to walk toward, a purpose to walk in, and you'll never walk in that until you put him first in your life. You see, our lives, I started talking about Grandpa. My grandpa lived to be 78 years of age, and he was an old farmer. A logger, coal mine, did a lot of things in his life. And his body broke down. 78 is probably not real, real old. It's not too old considering that I'm 66, okay? But I used to think that's super old, Grant. If you're 78 years old, you're an old pappy, you know? But you know, I'd like to live a little longer than that, but I don't know. God may take me home. I don't know. But I'm thinking about my grandpa. Rarely did he ever get off his farm. He raised stuff on the farm, and rarely did he ever get off his farm. And you know what? I thought about my life, how busy that my life has become. Really, I've lacked him three times. In the short life that I've lived, I'm blessed to live the life that I've lived. But the fact is, my life has been much busier than my grandpa ever thought. His day was on the farm every day, getting up, caring for the farm. Years before that, he married my grandma at 13. I mean, you don't do things like that anymore. My grandma was 13 and played with dolls when she got married, I promise. There was nothing weird about that. That's just the way people did things back then. So, you know, we can shake our heads, but listen, they lived to be old. They had many kids, they had many grandkids, and they had many great-grandkids, and they loved each other. And, you know, they had problems and they had struggles. But yet his life wasn't as busy as my life is. My life is busy. Your life is busy. I talk to people all the time and they say, Pastor Art, I'm just crazy busy. Listen, is God all about all of your busy? Be real with me. Come on, be real with me. But you know what? Our life can be so busy. And we'll say, Pastor R, I've got to make some adjustments in my life. I've got to do some priority setting in my life. And so should we. But you know, one of the first things that we drop in our life and our walk with God, when our life can be so consumed, and probably, if we're real, it's not consumed by ministry. Come on, hello. It's not consumed by ministry, following Jesus. Yeah, our life every day should be about following Jesus. But it's not really consumed about, you know, eating with the homeless every day and doing things with the people behind the walls or whatever ministry that so are working with youth every day. Our life is mostly consumed about our jobs, about our kids, and about our things. And there's nothing wrong with those things. Can I have you? Can I have your attention for just a minute? There's nothing wrong. And don't take me wrong as in saying that. The problem is when our life gets so busy behind our stuff that when we decide, well, I've got to give up something, guess who we first give up? We give up he that sits on the throne. We give up him. It's him that gives you life. If you're not proud to tell something, then give up some of the stuff that's creating a headache and go life. Hello. Hello. Pastor, I know I. And it's not about doing more. It's about being more. Doing will flow out of your being. It will take care of itself. God will take care of you if you will take care of him. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and everybody shall all these things he'll add unto you. Amen. I knew this wasn't going to be a popular word. I'm going to preach it anyway. If you get up and walk out the door, I'm going to preach it anyway. I can inspire you to your car and keep preaching to you. Your stuff is getting in your way. Your baggage is getting in your way. And you're going to have to love me for it, because you're not going to get to heaven unless you love me. Stuff. God doesn't mind for you to have stuff. But Saul was hiding from his destiny and purpose, and he was hiding behind his stuff. He was hiding behind all of his stuff, all the things. And you know what? And if you look at this, this is an interesting thing. Mrs. R and I was talking about that. The Hebrew word for stuff is baggage. Or killing. It's used for a variety of objects, including bag, armor, weapon, jewel, the ambiguous things. In short, Saul was hiding among the kind of things that make us feel protected. Hiding behind the stuff that makes us feel more protected, or that we have ownership of, or give us a sense of power. Like we own it. Can I say something? You don't own your home. You don't own your automobile. You don't own your paycheck. You don't own your kids. You don't own anything. In fact, if we all look at it, everything that we have, God gave unto us. God gave it. Why? Because He loves you. If you love your kids, guess what? You give them stuff, don't you? And when you give your kids stuff, do you explain to them that because you're giving them gifts or giving them this, it's not all about the stuff? We grow up in a society today, it's all about entitlement. And if we're not careful, we can teach our kids about entitlement and not even think about it. Well, I'm entitled to this. You see, my dad was a poor coal miner. I mean, he worked in coal mine. He worked hard. It wasn't that we didn't have stuff, but he did try to instill into me. And even though my mom tried to instill into me, and sometimes it was a switch. I know some of you think that's a bad word. You don't use stuff like that anymore. Oh, Jesus. No. But you see, my mom would tell me, try to teach me the importance of working and cutting weeds up on the hill. But I had so much stuff as a young teenager. I wanted to go play ball. I wanted to ball on the court down the road somewhere. And I wanted to lead the weeds. And most of the time, Mom would take care of the weeds. And my uncle, my mom, my dad, get out over me because they knew that I had more important things to do. But I had stuff in the way. Listen, you've got important stuff to do in the kingdom of God. Don't let a lot of stuff get in your way. Come up here, Sal. Come on, brother. You just sit up here. I'm not going to make you talk or anything. You look so the part, brother. You didn't even get Josh's attention back there. I don't know, Josh. You're not on your cell phone, are you, brother? Okay. He's in his notebook, I know. I'm just kidding, Josh. He's in his notebook. He's taking notes. No, honestly, will you help me out here? I want you to sit right there. Just sit right there. You don't have to stand there and sit. You look like you're the guy who needs this right here. And by the way, can I tell you a fish story? Can I tell you a fish story?
Yes, sir.
Some of you already act like you're mad at me. Okay? Yeah, some of you already act like you're mad at me. Jesus, you see every heart right now. I pray that you burn the power of the Holy Ghost, burns in them, and they won't sleep tonight. I pray as they're sleeping, not sugar plums dancing in their head, but I pray that stuff just bounces around their head. I tell you, a funny fish story doesn't have anything to do with the message. But it's all right to do stuff. And my family and I, we try to every now and then. We don't always do. But Mrs. R loves to fish. She really does, and she's really good at it. She's a lot better at it than I am. And so Jenny, and probably Will would never admit it, but she's really giving Will a big run for her money. I don't know about he teaches to fish, but listen, I know you think, well, this is one of these fish stories, but I caught a fish the other day. It must have been that long. Well, is it getting bigger? Is it getting bigger all the time? Yeah, it really was. You saw the picture of it. You saw the picture of it. Listen, there's nothing wrong with that. God doesn't mind you have your family with you, and you do things together as a family. You pour in your family, you pour in your kids, you do things for your kids and pour in your families. But you know what? He doesn't mind that. He just doesn't want all of those things to have you, where it becomes priority in your life and your life is consumed about just those things. God God wants your life to be about His things first, and then all those things He'll give you. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Material supplies, equipment. One definition said various activities. So life is made of stuff. Stuff has a tendency sometimes to get in our way. Can I give you a famous quote?
Yes.
Don't know who said it. And I was telling Miss Kathy this morning about this. Most believers, most Christians, I'm not saying that we don't struggle with sin issues sometimes. And we do. We do struggle. We mess up, you know? Be real with me. We mess up sometimes. But most of our struggle is not in our mess ups. We're not out really doing drugs. I'm not saying there's not anybody who does. Or we're not out doing, being promiscuous and having, you know, sex and doing all those things. We're not about, you know, killing people and robbing banks and doing all those kinds of things. Most of the believer's life is not in that. Most of the busy, the life of the believer is in where we put other things in front of our life, and that becomes the object of our worship, right? Rather than the one we should worship. Do you know that Jesus, the devil, tried to get in the Lord's head with stuff? In Matthew chapter 4, you know, the devil came to Jesus three times. Remember, he was hungry. He hadn't ate. He had fasted. Came to him with bread. He came to him on top of the pinnacle, told him to jump down. That the word said that God would give his angels charge. You remember that story, don't you? In Matthew chapter 4. The last of those temptations, the devil showed him all the kingdoms of the earth. He showed him a bunch of stuff. A bunch of stuff. He showed him a bunch of stuff. All it was a bunch of stuff. He showed him all the kingdoms of the earth. And the Bible says in the King James, the devil said to him, all these things will I give you if you'll just bow down and worship me right here. I'll give you all those things. Guess what? The devil's always trying to make a deal with you. He's always trying to take you to the table to make a deal with you. So that life becomes all just about life. It becomes all about your stuff. It comes about all about your things. And when your life begins to unravel, it's because things are not working out in your life the way you want to. Listen, your life will always work out if Jesus is the center of your life. Whoa, you missed it. God shouldn't be a part of your life. He should be your life. He's my bread when I'm hungry. He's my shelter in the time of storm. He's my rock in the weary land. He's my breath that I breathe. He's my morning ray of sunshine. God is everything in my life. And without Him, I can't make it. When we worship the things, the Bible says, in the last day, Paul said explicitly that men will become lovers of pleasure more than they would be lovers of God.
Yes.
They would love things more than they would God.
Yeah.
Things would take the priority over people's life. Yeah. People would be so distracted because of things, giving heed to seducing spirits, where things are the things that drive us and push us and motivate us. I've got to work because my family needs things. I've got to do this because I need things. Let me tell you, know this, that God loves you so much. He loves you so much that He wrote you a personal letter this morning and saying to us, keep your priorities in order.
Amen.
Get your priorities in order.
Right.
Get your priorities in order. It's not all about coming to church. You say, sometimes, how is it that we feel like we do God a favor when we come to church? First of all, when we come to worship together, church is more than a building. How many knows that?
Yes.
It's more than a building.
Yes.
It's more than a building. It's more than a steeple. It's more than a building. It's more than sitting in a pew. Church is more than that. Can I be real about it?
Yes.
You are the church, amen?
Right.
You are the church.
Right.
You're the church. You're the organism. You're the breathing, moving body of Christ. It's in Him we live, we move, we have our being. It's in Jesus. It's not in a building. But God knows the importance of us coming together. Because when we come here, it helps us to refocus. Refocus. The word is designed to help us stay focused. It's to inspire us, encourage us, and challenge us when there are times and needs of being challenged in our life. Every sermon you hear and every message you hear can't be a yes sermon. It can't be a goody sermon. It can't be something that makes you feel chill bumps. Sometimes before you can feel the glory, you've got to feel the little bit of challenge in your life. First of all, you appreciate a place where the word of God will be declared unto you. I appreciate that. My kids preach to me all the time. My wife preaches to me all the time. I got people in the congregation that preaches to me all the time. Rick's been a pretty big preacher in my life. You probably never meet it. Steve's a pretty big preacher in my life. Although he says that he comes to me for adjustments. Sometimes I think it's more about him trying to get me an adjustment. Bree preaches to me. Regan preaches to me. Miss R preaches to me. A lot of you preach to me. Josh, different ones of you preach to me. But this morning, the purpose of that word is to keep us focused. To keep us focused. And Paul said, even when we come together to have the Lord's meal, the Lord's supper, you know the purpose of that? It's to teach us about focus. To keep the main thing, the main thing. And Paul said, don't have the Lord's meal every week. It's not necessarily important. I'm not saying if you do, it's wrong. I'm just saying he said as often as you do it, do it to remember me. Do it to remember what I've done for you. And we come together every week. We have the Lord's table. Here you are, sitting at the table. Amen. And here the Lord is from heaven's balcony. Handing out to you by the power of the Holy Spirit a word that will go in your spirit and challenge you to live closer and more dedicated and more committed to following Jesus. Amen? So Saul, the most important day in his life, and we can all kick Saul off the boat and say, Saul was a bad king. Saul wasn't necessarily a bad king. He wasn't necessarily God's choice, but he ordained it. And so Saul, Samuel anointed him to the horn of the oil, anointed him. He was an anointed king. And the Bible said there was something unique about Saul. Let me tell you real quickly. I'm getting ready to tie the boat here. There's something unique about Saul. Physically, he was a head above everybody else.
Right.
He stood out.
Right.
He stood out. Greatness stands out.
Right.
You know, we're always thinking about what do I need to do to be great? God has ordained you to do great things. It's not about what you do to be great. God has ordained you to walk in greatness. To walk in greatness. Why would you give that up for stuff?
Right.
And so he was a head taller than all the rest of them. And they went looking for Saul. Where is he? He's supposed to be here. This is the big day. We're gonna corner him. You're right here in front of this subject. Where is he? Have you seen Saul? I feel the power of God right now. In this place, my knees are getting weak right now. Let me tell you something. Oh, Jesus. Something was unique about Saul. And when they come to find him the day of the coronation, to officially coronate him in front of his subject, he wasn't found. He was hiding behind his stuff. God has called you. Do you know that? You have a calling on your life. What are you going to do with that calling? Well, I'll just stick it in my pocket. One day when I don't have anything else to do, I'll get that calling out and I'll walk in. Is that the way we're going to do with God's calling on our life? God has a calling for your life. He has a calling. He has a calling. He has a purpose. He has a destiny for you to walk in. What are you going to do with that? And there was something unique about Saul. And he was hiding behind his stuff when the most important day was evident before the people. He was hiding behind his stuff. Reluctancy kept him from coming out. And there's a lot of things there that we could say about Saul. Maybe he was apprehensive. Maybe he was afraid. Maybe there was something about his pedigree. There was something about people. I don't know that maybe, even though physically he stood out, but maybe inwardly, emotionally, and spiritually, he wasn't feeling like he was up to the challenge. So therefore he stayed behind his stuff and wouldn't step out and say, "Here I am, Lord. I'll walk in this purpose. I'll walk in this destiny." And listen, we could put a name on all of this stuff. I don't know what your stuff is. Your stuff is different than my stuff. Is everybody still with me?
Yes.
Your stuff looks different than my stuff.
Yes.
Okay? I can give you three things right here. And I might give you one or two of those real quickly here before we tie the boat. But listen. Most of our life is trying to come out from our stuff and follow the purpose and intent for God and not be distracted, to keep our focus. And people can be distracted from that because what we end up doing, and a lot of us fit in this place, and sometimes it's an orphan spirit that sort of drives us, and it becomes about people. Sometimes we're distracted from our purpose when we try to spend our lives for other people. A lot of our business is about trying to live our life for other people.
Right.
Oh, I know. I know I was going to hit a root somewhere along the way. God's plowing this thing, and I was going to hit a root. I was going to hit a rock. It's about playing people. Sometimes our life can be so about people, doing things for people. It becomes about pleasing people. And my life for years was about pleasing people. Ministry became about, it was a thing about pleasing people. Guess what? I know this for sure. Assured. I will never please you. And God says, that's okay. You're not going to. If my son Jesus didn't please the total populace, who do you think you are? Will never please the total populace. Everybody cannot be pleased. It's not your mission to please everybody. It's your mission to serve everybody. Amen. Some people are going to like it, and some people not going to like it. The people you think are going to like it will be the ones that bite your hand. You ever heard the saying, bite the hand that feeds you?
Yes.
You know, there's some people just being good to people and loving people. It's not enough. It'll never be enough. Because people are all driven by different things. And those people, not saying they're malicious or mean, but listen, Those people had their own stuff to deal with. And I'm just saying, stuff will get in their way. And sometimes making our life's vision about people can get in our way.
Right.
Keep the main thing the main thing.
Right.
Keep the main person the main person.
Right.
Who's the main person? Who should be the main focus?
Jesus.
Somebody shout Jesus.
Jesus.
Guess what? Can I be honest with you? Be real. You're not going to please me. Hello. And somebody once told me, and I'm not patting myself on the back, Pastor, if somebody can't get along with you, they can't get along with anybody. You know? Because a lot of my life has just been, look, people just roll over top of me, you know? Just beat up on me and just walk away and just say, love them, Jesus, bless them, Jesus. And I'm not saying that I don't get mad at sometimes, and I'm not saying that I don't feel like kicking people off the boat sometimes, but I'm just saying it's not in my nature. I love people. I'm a people person. You can blame that on God. You can blame that on my mom. Because, listen, I just love people. What's wrong with just loving people? Anything wrong with it? Come on, help me out. Controlling you, manipulating you. And that happens in the body of Christ. And there's a spirit that drives that sometimes, and it's called a Jezebel spirit.
Yes.
You've heard of that before.
Yes, it has.
Some people may have never heard of that before. It's a controlling spirit. When there are people trying to control your life, and they're controlling to the part that they're using threats to control you. Cut the rope! Cut the rope! You hear me? Cut the rope! If they tell you they're not going to be your friend because you won't do something for them and you know your spirit is not the thing you need to do, then cut the rope! Oh, this is rocky plow. My hand, I'm charred. Going through this field right here. I'm charred. It looks like you're laughing right now. You see, looking past all the jowls. I'm here just now. Listen, it's rocky in this field right now. Because sometimes you don't want to hear the truth. And even though the truth hits you right in the face, you don't want to own it. You don't want to hear it because it's easier to run from it. Or own it.
Yeah. Yes.
So they say focus.
Focus.
Keep your eye on the one thing. Don't look at people. I know people are not going to church, but they said they quit going to church because certain people. Certain people. Listen, wherever you go, we're going to go, we're going to be people. Unless you decide to go out on a remote island somewhere in the South Pacific and just surround yourself with coconuts and palm trees and live and listen, talk to a coconut the rest of your life, you're going to be around people. The thing is, keep people where people need to be. People will let you down. People will disappoint you. I'll disappoint you. Somebody else will disappoint you. Offenses will come. Jesus said offenses will come. Offenses come because of people. You're never going to be a part of the body of Christ or the kingdom of God without somewhere along the line your path crossing with people and you getting your feelings hurt. I like what Jenny said here a while back. That's awesome. Give me the Walmart quote. Oh, don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Come on.
Y'all stop going to Walmart when there are people there you don't like.
Oh, you keep going. You're low on the last part.
You don't stop going to Walmart when there are people there you don't like.
Stop and eat at the restaurant because one of the waiters or one of the waitresses, and you may say, I'm not going to go back there again, but you're going to go back there again. And listen, you're not going to stop there. You're not going to stop life because somebody gets in your way. Are you going to stop following Jesus because people sometimes get in your way and distract you? No, you're going to follow either way. Amen. Let's stop right here. Sometimes people get distract us. They distract us. They distract us. They're meant to distract you. The enemy, listen, and I'm not saying you're a bad person because you distracted somebody, but listen, something may happen and you may get just bothered by something. You don't quit your family because you disagree with them.
No.
You love them thick and thin.
That's it.
Through high water, deep water, shallow water. Yes. You just love the people. They may be tired. You might not go to the next dinner or something, or you may let them know, but your family, you're there. Your DNA shows that. Listen, our DNA, our spiritual DNA shows us that we're children of the living God. And let me tell you something. If we've got a problem getting wrong with people here, what are we going to do when you get to heaven? Amen. Do you ever think about that? Amen. What I think the real way God would set this up, I don't know, is the person that you struggle with the most will be the very person who lives next door to you in heaven. Wouldn't that be God's sense of humor? Wouldn't that be God's sense of humor? The person that drove you over the edge will be the very person that lives in your backyard in heaven. And I don't know how big that backyard is. It may be miles and miles and miles, but there. But you know what? The wonderful thing about heaven is all that's going to be vanished away anyway. You're not going to remember that. I mean, heaven's going to be a special place. Keep your focus on the prize. I press toward the mark. I reach toward the mark. I'm not letting people get in my way. I'm not being distracted by what people do. I'm not being distracted. If I had let people get in my way, I'd quit a long time ago. Quit a long time ago. I can't afford to quit. I've gone too far. I've come too far. I've come too far. I've come too far. How about you? Have you come too far? If I can close right here, I think sometimes we all struggle with things in our life and we all get distracted by things, but I think a thing that reaches out to me today is a lot of us deal with various issues in our past. A lot of us deal with a lot of baggage and stuff from our past. How many knows that we come to Jesus with a lot of baggage?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, there's about 10 people here that know that. You got baggage. Don't you make somebody believe that you don't have baggage. You got baggage. You got stuff. You got stuff going on. You got stuff going on. You got stuff. You got stuff in your family. You got stuff. You got stuff going on. And we come into this relationship with Jesus, we bring stuff. But our stuff cannot impede us from our future. And it tries to. Our past will try to get in your way of your future. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind me. I reach for the things that are in front of me. All of us have horrible past sometimes. Sometimes we come from child abuse, sexual abuse. Sometimes we've come through all kinds of various struggles and problems, addictions, you know, yes. Struggle with alcohol, you know, imprisonment, different things. We've all come through different kinds of things. We've all had a past. We all got a past. We all got a past. Don't look at somebody and frown upon them because they have a past and you think their past past is a little worse than yours. Amen. It's all level at the cross. It's all level. If you can't understand somebody else's crazy when they praise the Lord, maybe it's because you don't understand what God has delivered them from. Maybe you need to take a look at your life. Maybe you need to look at their life and say, God, I never had lost my family because of drugs. I never have lost my family because of alcohol. I never have lost nearly everything because of this or that. And you set me free. And you set my foot upon a solid rock. And you established my goal. And you gave me something to praise about. You gave me something to praise God about. So instead of criticizing somebody else's praise, you know what you need to do. Swallow the pride.
Gifted you with, but don't allow those things to consume you and
hold you back from the purpose and destiny that God has called you to walk in. Because your stuff will get in your way. Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you with me? God's long suffering is patient toward us all, not willing that all should come to repentance. God is patient, he's long suffering toward us, and he's pursuing us constantly, challenging us on many levels. Follow me, there's a call of God in your life. Just about everybody in this room, at some time or another, I have spoken personally to you and said God had a call on your life. That wasn't my idea, that was God's idea. Why is it that Jesus often found himself in the presence of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and Bethany? Because what they did is they opened their heart and they gave him fellowship like he didn't receive a lot of places. When he was in Bethany, he joined himself to them. He was treated with great respect, and they just fellowshiped with him, and they enjoyed his presence. They just loved to hang out with Jesus. Don't you just love to hang out with Jesus? Yeah. You know what? I was talking to Ronald about you the other day. Good, by the way, okay? And but there's such a powerful difference I've noticed in you, and you know, as many of you here in this room today, the difference is Jesus. Your difference is Jesus. The difference in your degree is Jesus. I don't doubt that you love Jesus, but sometimes our priorities get out of order. Come on, help me out. Where our priorities get in order. Don't not follow Jesus because your life is busy. Follow Jesus and then allow the Holy Spirit to help you with the things you need to prioritize. This is what Mary did when Jesus came. Come up here. Come up here. Steve, real quick. Jesus will come to Mary Martha's house. I don't know. I'm just getting somebody. Okay. Mary Martha. Come in. Martha. Okay. Lazarus. Jesus would come to Mary Martha's house and they'd wait on him. And Jesus would sit and start sharing stories. And she'd find herself just captivated by it. And she'd just sit there and just listen to his stories like, I'm in this. How many see what I'm saying? Jesus was just pouring into her. She just sat at his feet and just heard his words. And she was mesmerized by his message and his words. And that's all she could do was sit there and listen to Jesus. And Martha, you know, Martha, come on, Martha. Martha was, her work was important too, but she was so worried about just fixing Jesus a meal that all day long, she prepared and she got things ready. Hang on. All day long, she just got things ready for Jesus. Fixed the right things. And she was cumbered about with many things. The Bible says in the King James, she was distracted from the Lord. Her service distracted her. Guess what? Your working in the kingdom can be a distraction from you. You're doing just things in the kingdom can be a distraction. If you're just doing those things to be doing those things, that can be a distraction. And Mary was at his feet, but Martha just run around the house all day. Take a few laps around there, Martha. Yeah, go all the way around, just busy. And so finally she came to the place where she got a little bit upset at Mary. He said, Mary, Don't you care that I'm waiting on Jesus? You should be doing the same thing. And Jesus said, whoa, wait just a minute. Mary's chosen the good part. She's chosen the good part. Because right now, this moment, she chose to be here at my feet, listening to my word, and not worried about all this other stuff that we get worried about sometimes. Let me tell you, we live in a Martha world. Do you hear what I'm saying? You live in a Martha world. The time clock punches you, pushes you, and pulls you. You're going from east to west. You're going in and out. You're doing crazy stuff all the time. And sometimes I text you, and some of you say, Pastor, I'm warp speed. Do you have to live in warp speed?
No.
But Pastor, I got so many things to do. Maybe you don't need to do so many things.
That's it.
Hello? I know I'm not popular right now. I know I'm not popular. I can tell that right now. She's chosen the good part. Let me tell you, when you stand before Jesus and you leave this world, you'll not take anything you've accumulated with you. The only thing you'll have is you and Jesus. Amen. Let that be the fact of you and you and Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Good job. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you, Sal. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you. So my question is this morning. My question is closing. My question is here this morning. My question is here this morning. Stay focused. Keep Jesus the center attraction of your life. If he's the center attraction, nothing else will be the distraction. Okay? Keep Jesus the center of distraction. Attraction in your life.
Yes.
God doesn't mind for us to have stuff. He just doesn't want stuff to have you.
Right.
Stay focused. Keep your eye on Jesus this morning. Keep your eye on him. And as the Bible says, as you see this day approaching, so we should be more mindful of these things to keep our eyes on Jesus. Because the closer we get to Jesus coming, the more the element of distraction will become a problem. And the life of the church, on the bottom, his enemy is always trying to pull you away.
Yes, he is.
He's always trying to get stuff in your way this morning. Where that becomes your life instead of Jesus becomes your life.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes,
will he not add everything to you and then some?
Yes.
Hello. Will he not add everything to you, Miss Donna, and stuff? Amen. The stuff we worry about. We say, well, God, I'm just going to give this to you, and I'm going to seek you first and see what God will do. See if he will open the heavens and pour out a blessing upon you that you can't hold or contain. Amen. Let's give Jesus a praise for this morning. Because your mind is on so many things. It's problematic because when we sit down and be still anymore, our minds don't sit down and be still. How many have problems sleeping sometimes? Let me get up here so I can see everybody. How many have problems sleeping sometimes? You know why you have problems sleeping? Because your mind don't shut down. Your mind's working. Your mind's planning. Your mind's strategy. Your mind's worrying. You're thinking about things. How am I going to do all this? Be real. I've been there. I'm just saying, keep the main thing the main thing. This morning, I want us just to take a moment. God didn't say I want you to have another hour. I want you to just take a moment right now and reflect upon where your priorities are. This morning in this worship, You know, I had a conversation with a brother this other day. He was a little bit bothered because, you know, there people weren't engaged in worship. People not engaged in worship. People not engaged in worship. You know why sometimes we can't engage in worship? It's the same problem Martha could. Because we're worried about so many things. We're sitting there. Some of you already planning your afternoon. You're sitting right there, you couldn't be really focused on the message because you're worried about what you're going to do tomorrow. You're worried about going to Walmart, worried about this, worried about that. I've got to plan this, I've got to do this, I've got to get this for the kids, I've got to do that. And you're missing the main thing. What if this was the last service you was ever in? What if this was the last worship service you were ever in? And I'm not trying to be morbid, I'm just saying, what if it is? Then we want this to be our best, right? We want to give God. So right now, for one moment, I know what time it is. For one moment right now, I want you to sit there and I want you to reflect upon who Christ is in your life, who Jesus is in your life, who He wants to be in your life. If He's not where He needs to be, can I say this? If He's not on the throne of your heart, if He's not number one in your life, then why don't you this morning coronate Him and put Him on the throne of your heart? Why don't you elevate Him and put Him on the throne of your heart this morning and make Him king? Okay? Make Him king. Say, God, I'm going to put You first. And with Your help, from this day forward, I'm going to make it more my priority to keep You where You need to be. Not worried so much about things. Not worried so much about people. Not worried about those things. But put You first. And I know You'll bless me with all the other things that I need. You'll bless me with my job. You'll bless me with my income. You'll bless me. Amen? How many of you know that God wants to bless you? So right now, I want you to just take a moment. Can we all right now get in the presence of God? Right now, in this room. I know it's a little hot, but right now, the challenge is for you to get in the presence of God. Right now, for this one moment. Get in the presence of God. Just right now, you and the Lord standing there and asking God to show you where you are in your relationship with Him. Show me where you are, Lord, in my relationship with You. Am I putting other things before You? Am I worried? Am I struggling? Am I just putting all kinds of stuff in front of You? Lord, what is it? Do I need to prioritize? If there's somebody here this morning that needs to come to Jesus and you've never done that in your life, I'm going to ask you to come right now and put Him number one. Put Him first in your life right now. If there's somebody here that's not living where they need to be of God, I want you to slip your hand up with mine right now. Slip your hand up with mine right now. God bless that hand. Anyone else? God bless that hand. Those hands. Anyone else not living as close as you need? God bless that hand.